to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
From its founding as a trading post along the Willamette River in 1862, to the testing of the first waffle shoe of a plucky startup called Nike at Hayward Field in 1972, to the dubbing of the area as Silicon Shire in 2012, Eugene has been home to entrepreneurship and innovation. Can Eugene continue attracting new businesses and boosting wages, all the while maintaining affordability, public space, and a renowned, independent, quirky character?
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's June 4th, 2021 program, Entrepreneurship in the Emerald City. This is the 35th program for our 2020-21 programming year. My name is Kitty Piercy, and I am the City Club president. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available to you on the YouTube channel and on our Facebook, and are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 on Mondays at 7. In today's program, we welcome Sally Bell, Matt Sayer, Marissa Zarate. Biographical information on our speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. I would like to thank Andrew Kallick for coordinating today's program. From its founding as a trading post along the Willamette River in 1862, to the testing of the first waffle shoe of a plucky startup called Nike at Hayward Field in 1972, to the dubbing of the area as Silicon Shire in 2012, Eugene has been home to entrepreneurship and innovation. Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce, Onward Eugene, and the University of Oregon were recently awarded a $500,000 federal grant to expand programs for the Innovation District in Eugene's Opportunity Zone. The project is designed to foster entrepreneurship and build new businesses in Eugene by expanding the Business Accelerator and Mentor Network through the Onward Eugene Accelerator Program and the Mentor Experience from the University of Oregon. While an emphasis on entrepreneurship has helped to diversify the region's economy in recent years, particularly after the decline of the timber industry in the 1980s, many questions remain. How can we ensure equitable access to entrepreneurial opportunities in Eugene? How can Eugene position itself as a business-friendly city while maintaining its unique culture? As Oregon Business wrote, can Eugene continue attracting new businesses and boosting wages, all the while maintaining affordability, public space, and a renowned, independent, quirky character? We'll get the answers to that question and many more from an all-star panel of guests. Our format today includes a question and answer period with City Club members via Zoom.
Hello, and welcome to the City Club of Eugene. My name is Andrew Kallick, and I'm a member of the board and the organizer of today's forum on entrepreneurship in Eugene. We have a terrific panel of guests with us today. So with no further ado, I'm going to turn it over to each of them. First up is Sally Bell. Sally.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Good afternoon, City Club, and thanks for the invite to speak today. I'm Sally Bell. I'm the Vice President and Executive Director of Technology Association of Oregon in the Southern Willamette Valley. TAO's mission is to support an inclusive world-class innovation economy that strengthens our regional tech industry. And I have the opportunity to oversee our regional efforts and connect the dots with our tech communities here in Lane County, also with the Mid-Valley and Central Oregon. So I think we'd all agree that a strong startup community is essential for economic growth. And our challenge is really how to leverage this pivotal time for our region to make it an ideal environment for growing and scaling companies. There's no doubt the last 15 months has changed our chemistry as humans, as a community, and as the way we do business. We all have had to evolve immensely through the pandemic and solve for some of the most essential hierarchy of needs. So as we come out that other side, we have an opportunity, and I would argue an obligation, for our future generations to make some strategic decisions as a region that will determine our growth trajectory. So over the past 10 years, what it means to be a tech company has really changed. In 2012, being part of the Silicon Shire meant something pretty specific. And as companies become even more tech-enabled, there are even greater opportunities for us to define the benefits of choosing to do business here in the Southern Willamette Valley. So currently, TAO has over 450 member companies and community partners across the state. Here in Southern Willamette Valley, that represents about 15 to 20% of our membership. We support them through access to business resources, talent recruitment, workforce development, advocacy work, content programming, thought leadership. We've got a large menu. And for startups specifically, being a member with TAO connects them with other founders. It connects them with investors, to mentors. It gives them much needed visibility and promotion to raise capital, and it gives them a voice in advocacy. So we have some really exciting startup members in TAO here in Lane County. Of course, Sheer ID being one of our favorite success stories. Other startup members include Fleet Nurse, BitCork, recently joining member of Porter. And there's other companies like Nulia, a startup that wasn't founded here, but relocated here to grow with its proximity to the university and to grow junior talent. So clearly we have a lot to offer tech startups. People come for the quality of life and they come for the infrastructure, thanks to the great work of Matt Sayer's leadership in terms of our local fiber downtown. They come for the proximity to the universities for great talent. You also consider Symantec used to be here, which was the largest tech employers in the region. And now there's a wealth of cybersecurity and talent professionals all over, and we can really consider them and the possibilities of growth for our region in terms of an asset. So we engage in building entrepreneurship through lots of partnerships. For cities of our size, this is absolutely a team sport. We partner with public sector and local orgs like Onward and the Chamber, the city, Lane Workforce, and the university, because we just can't do this work alone. So just in terms of a couple trends going on across the state and our region that kind of show the health of the ecosystem, year over year, the tech industry has grown 5.6% in Oregon, and there's been an 8.3% increase in tech firms in 2020. TAO has seen an increase in engagement, in membership, unprecedented growth, and it's a good sign of the resilience of the tech sector that they want to stay engaged. They're very nimble. VC funding in Q1 of 2021 was also at historically high levels, according to Business Oregon. Some pretty big deals, including a $200 million deal going to a startup company in Bend called Dutchy. So there's healthy signs of raising money, but it's also challenging in Lane County. We'll talk about that in a minute. So some of the biggest challenges, too, are considering the fact that less than 2% of the VC funding this year has gone to women founders. So there's a lot of good work to do. So some other challenges when it comes to having it all. We want to be the community to attract businesses and talent and boost wages, maintain affordability in public spaces, and also maintain our special quirky Eugene sauce. So access to capital is going to continue to hinder us unless we come up with some really innovative solutions. For women and BIPOC, it's been a long-standing struggle. You have to prove your credibility and that you have business chops, and you have to know when to go to the ask for the ask. And there's that grit and perseverance. And frankly, you know, when those systems weren't built by you or for you, it continues to be a challenge. So we've got a big opportunity to retrofit the funding mechanisms for our startups. Housing will continue to be an important challenge and opportunity for us. Homeless and unhoused population is on the rise without adequate solutions, and affordable workforce housing, there's just not enough. And so it's a huge leverage point, and frankly, one of the largest pain points in companies across the state when it comes to scaling. For pandemic recovery, we're in strange times. Some things are going at warp speed and others feel like they're just stuck in the mud. And I think combining that with the psychology of the Oregon way, which is very much farming our own patch. We're really called to collaborate in new ways. We do it really well as a region. I think we need to think about doing it across the state and really accelerate those opportunities. I took a break earlier and I was thinking about the fact that it'll be 93 degrees today on June 1st. And so I know we're all enjoying that sunshine, but it'll come at high costs at the end of August. So we've got a lot of challenges when it comes to resilience and wildfires and the impending Cascadia. And finally, downtown. It's the heartbeat of our city. It's largely deactivated in the past couple of years. And so returning its vibrance will really take everyone operating on all cylinders. And so I think some of our greatest opportunities are going to be around funding. And I'll let Matt talk about that. In terms of visibility, it's really about how do we identify the best sources of capital and get our startups in front of those. It may not be here in Lane County. Can we grow companies here and send them elsewhere to scale a little bit more and come back? You know, there's lots of interesting models we might consider. So we've got lots of thriving sectors, ag, food, manufacturing, healthcare, sports, bioscience, of course, tech. We've got more to leverage there and the intersections between them to foster more startup development. So I'm excited to get it, dig into this discussion today and how we make Southern Willamette Valley a thriving region for growing and scaling companies. Hope I didn't take too much time. Thanks. I'll pass the mic.
So good afternoon. I'm Matt Sayer, Managing Director of Onward Eugene. And thank you, Andrew, Ralph, and Kitty, and everyone at Eugene City Club for the opportunity to have a conversation today. I thought I'd start by giving a brief primer on what Onward Eugene is, since we're a new organization and most folks in the community have not heard of us just yet. Then maybe I'll touch on the recent EDA grant, our community one, and then reflect on all of those things related to today's topic. For background, Onward is an economic development nonprofit, and what that means is that we create economic prosperity in our community. Our approach to the work recognizes that the economy wasn't necessarily working well for everyone before the pandemic. And so we're doing economic development a little bit differently than has been done in the past. We're private sector led, and very much like Sally and the TAO, our general approach leans into a belief that economic development is a team sport. Our organizational mission is straightforward, it's prosperity for all. And this mission has really resonated over the last year, and we've been able to forge some really tremendous partnerships with local organizations, including the University of Oregon, Lane Workforce Partnership, Access Media, Northwest Community Credit Union, among many others. On this panel, actually, I've had the pleasure of working with Sally and the TAO on a digital resilience forum earlier this year. And Huerta de Familia has been really receptive to our outreach as we have worked to include entrepreneurs from diverse backgrounds into Onward's programs. So Onward's work actually spans four initiatives. The first is business recovery and expansion. That initiative is led by Nicole Desch. Of note is an incentive tool that Nicole has, which provides $3,500 to employers, and these are grant dollars, for each new hire. That is called the on-the-job training program, and it's very effective at creating economic mobility for people whose next employment opportunity seems just out of reach. Our second initiative is focused on talent leadership, and that is led by Cassie Stoner. She leads several programs under that initiative, including Onward's Career Tour program, where we showcase careers at local companies to local students. Losing talent to other larger cities is frequently talked about in our community as a problem. Some call it the brain drain, and talent is an input to growth for large companies and new startups alike. For me, in addition to being the managing director at Onward, my focus is on regional marketing and employer recruitment. And despite the pandemic, we've had some significant successes over the last year in a couple of four instances. One is helping find a buyer for the long vacant Hynek facility. Welcome to Eugene, Stratacash. And Onward was also part of the team that helped recruit Southwest Airlines to the Eugene Airport this past winter. So people in Eugene often talk about wanting more high-paying jobs in our community, and this initiative aims to create them. One of the programs that I'm most excited about that Onward is planning is the inaugural business welcome event being planned for September. So we envision literally rolling out the red carpet to entrepreneurs and new businesses in our community each year, and really focusing on cultivating a welcoming culture in our region. So, and then on to our fourth initiative, which is a strong startup ecosystem. And Caitlin Vargas, is newly hired at Onward, and she leads this effort, which is where we were able to secure the $500,000 in funding from the Economic Development Administration. So we've seen really strong demand for Onward's entrepreneurial services over the last year. The pandemic has made room for lots of things, and one of those things is for people to explore new ideas, and they've been gravitating towards our Ideate Pre-Accelerator program and the Huge Launchpad Accelerator to sort of help them along in their entrepreneurial journey. Over the last year, we've had to pivot. You know, pivot, I guess, is a startup term, but it's actually applicable here for our programs, probably much of the community as well. So our pivot was to offer entrepreneurial support services online with the support of the new federal grant. So with that support, we're able to double the frequency of those programs, effectively helping twice as many aspiring entrepreneurs as before, while ensuring that our accelerator programs are free of charge to participants. So our entrepreneurial programs focus on growing traded sector companies. I'll just give a little bit of color of why that's relevant for today's topic, that term traded sector. So traded sector basically means that they are companies that sell goods and services in markets outside of Oregon, bringing dollars back into the state. So one example that I like to give is that if you're looking to start a food truck, Onward's programs may not necessarily be the best fit for you, but I may be your first customer. If, however, you're building a point of sale system, some software for all food trucks, that is the type of startup that we focus on. And those are the types of startups that are going to directly create the most high-paying jobs here in Oregon. So traded sector firms exhibit a strong multiplier effect, and that's sort of a geeky technical term, but basically it means that for every job created in an industry like tech, or bioscience, or advanced manufacturing, there are several more jobs created in our economy, and that's a really important concept. These industries pay wages to people at levels that where they can afford to eat at a food truck, and that they can afford to do things like buy a house, and also to give back to this great community that we all call home. So I look forward to the conversation today with my fellow panelists, and we'll pass the mic over to Marissa.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come speak to City Club. So nice. I'm Marisa Zarate. I'm the executive director of Huerto de la Familia, but I'm here representing Huerto de la Familia and also our close partner organization, Centro Latinoamericano and Downtown Languages, in our currently growing collaboration. I'm so happy to be with you here to share about the work that Huerto has done. Many folks in the community know us as a gardening nonprofit, and that is true. We started initially as an organization to connect Latino immigrant families to opportunities for growing their own organic food in community gardens. The way that we expanded to providing business-related services is that we had clients growing food and wanting to make prepared foods such as salsas or tortillas, tamales, and also wanting to start restaurants, which are natural connections to a garden and growing of food. But over time, what we saw was that the need for Spanish-specific, culturally specific services for Latino families wanting to start businesses in Lane County was so great that we needed to expand and serve all sorts of businesses. So although we initially started as an organization serving food businesses, we now serve folks who want to start photography businesses, party planning businesses, of course, still restaurants, construction companies, translation services, you name it, we have folks who are interested in exploring it as an option. And so that's an exciting part of our work now, is getting to help launch a whole variety of small businesses in our community. We have some key programs and ways that we do that work. So a main component is through educational opportunities. We provide a business class twice a year, and it's a 3-month business class. So it's a big commitment from folks who sign up. They're really serious about starting their businesses, and they're willing to commit 3 hours a week for 12 weeks for a total of 36 class hours toward moving their business forward. And the goal of this class is to help them start out by looking at their personal finances and kind of getting a better grasp on those, and then moving from there into business finances and business planning. eventually when they graduate, they have an entire business plan ready to go so they can apply for funding opportunities and start to actually move forward with launching their businesses. It's an incredible class. Even in the time that I've been at Huerto de la Familia, it's evolved so much thanks to the direction of our program manager, Alex Perez Urbina. She has really tailored the class to be culturally specific. So it's not just a regular class translated into Spanish. It is so much more than that. The entire class is taught in Spanish, but it's also adjusted to be culturally relevant curriculum so that families who take the class can really connect to the material and understand it and interact with it in a different way. And part of what that's meant for us is that we use a peer education model in our class where the teacher isn't just an instructor, but more of a guide. And we really try to focus on all that clients bring into the class themselves, because I think it's very true that all of us here today, we tend to doubt ourselves, second guess ourselves, and underestimate ourselves. We don't give ourselves credit for all that we know and all of the knowledge we possess. Well, the same is true for folks who take our class and participate in our business planning program. We see that people underestimate how much knowledge they hold in them. And so a huge goal of our class is to gather that knowledge from various participants and have folks share that knowledge and together work their way through the curriculum, sharing their own experiences and learning the information that they need. Another unique thing about our class is that we utilize it as a way to build a network. So almost every class has an expert coming in from the community to teach and help guide on a specific subject. I have colleagues from law school that come in to talk about business structures like LLC versus what type of structure you would want your entity to have for your business. We have people who come in and talk about business finance, business outreach and advertising. So how do you do social media for your business? And so every class has somebody coming in from the community. And at the end of the class, in addition to the knowledge, students, clients have access to that entire network of humans that they met, or at least currently Zoom met, that they trust to go ask their hard questions to, that they feel comfortable approaching for that additional information they need later on. So that's a really key component, is building that network of support so that when businesses leave to go launch, they have not just our organization, but an entire range of people there to support them and answer questions and help them out. So those are some key components that make our class very different. And when clients graduate from the class, it doesn't end there. So our organization provides ongoing technical assistance to ensure folks are successful. They receive help on whatever topics are specific to their needs, specific to their businesses. Maybe they don't know how to apply for a food handler's license. Maybe they need to figure out how to negotiate being able to have contracts with the University of Oregon or the county. These are components that we help walk people through one-on-one that don't really apply in the larger class setting. So our staff provide that one-on-one support. And another form of technical assistance we've been focusing on lately is building a broader network of Latino-owned businesses in the county. So we have Jaime Covarrubias, who is going all around Lane County, connecting with businesses and building an entire network, not just of businesses who have been our clients, but of businesses overall. And now with COVID, that's become more important than ever because we've seen businesses need help. And the more businesses our organization is connected to, the more businesses we can connect to resources like grants and loans, not just the loans, but technical assistance so they can get through the application process. So there's a lot of resources we've added in COVID to access funding and other needs. But the more businesses we know, the more we can make sure less businesses fall through the cracks. And the last component is advocacy, helping businesses advocate for themselves at the state level and the local level for policies that will benefit their businesses and policies that specifically impact businesses owned by people of color. And so that is the work that will help uplift communities of color so that we're not accidentally left behind as we do all this incredible work that Matt and Sally talked about in our community, that we ensure communities of color are included and also have an opportunity to thrive. And to really like have that sense of getting to embrace that entrepreneurial spirit and carry out their business owning dream.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.